numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Hey, everybody. How you doing? What's happening, party people?
Hey, man.
How's your 2 weeks, Kelly?
It was good. Good to have you back in the saddle, man. How was vacation?
It was spectacular. You know, as you quipped about off air, it was me and fashion stylist Deborah Song just bashing into the Felica family vacation. And we really feel bad about it at the same time. I hope they didn't mind. We're like, hey, guys, we're here again.
All 2 weeks.
Hey, guys, you mind any company? So we did that for 2 weeks. It was awesome. I actually visited my mom before that. We'll get into some DC sports talk radio fodder that I heard just the worst while I was there. Glad to be back. Thank you to Matt Brown, first of all, for doing the first week. Matt Brown, who just finished the final countdown with Stormy Bonatoni as well during the break. He was great first week. And then Jeff Parlay, show staple, producer number 5 and 8, was here week number 2. Thank you to both of them for filling in the chair. We do have Jim Root from Three Man Weave later on the show to talk college basketball with us. Wes Reynolds in studio. Is that true? Wes in studio.
In studio. In the flesh.
I am honored.
Me too.
I am honored by that. We'll talk college hoops with him. We'll talk golf with him. I know you had a great golf weekend. We'll talk about your great golf weekend coming up here as well. Kelly just getting it done, the sport of golf.
He better have, too. I'm assuming he did.
And I want to start with the formula here momentarily. I just want to say this. My first, you know, you come back into the country and you're quickly reminded of things. One, on this show, from the inception of this show, we always talk about how we can't stand when teams in football go in a shotgun on 4th and 1, especially at the goal line, drives us crazy. And in basketball, pro and college, we always talk about how teams don't foul when they're up 3 late in games. So immediately I get back this weekend, and it's like, oh, just in case you forgot, and people are betting on this stuff. First of all, Saturday, Iowa favored by 5.5. Sorry to remind Spartans backers about this. Iowa favored by 5.5. They win by 6 in overtime after the Spartans led by 10 with under a minute left and by 6 with under 30 seconds left, and they don't foul on a 3-point attempt to tie at the end of regulation. Peyton Sanford hits it with a bucket. I don't know what Tom Izzo's thinking. Well, I have speculation as to what he's thinking. And Iowa covers in overtime. And then yesterday, also in the Big Ten, Michigan favored by 5.5. They win by 8 in overtime after the Badgers don't foul on 2 3-point attempts to tie it at the end of regulation. Hunter Dickinson, DeMatha High School, with a bucket after Kobe Bufkin missed his. Jordan Davis lunging for the steal for no particular reason. And that goes to overtime. Michigan wins by 8. And you just ask yourself, what are these teams doing not fouling? It's math. If you foul up 3, I'm just going to pull a number out of my, you know what? I'm going to say it's about a 98% chance you win the basketball game. If you don't foul, depending on the percentage 3-point shooter and their look and whatever, the look they get at the basket, you know, it reduces to, I don't know what, 70%, 75%, somewhere. Yeah. It's math. And it just seems like these coaches, whether it's Tom Izzo at Michigan State, whether it's Greg Gard at Wisconsin, whether it's any other coach in college basketball or pro who does this, they are just so worried, Kelly, that 1% to 2% of the time where they will get embarrassed so badly that someone gets fouled on the 3 and beats them happens, that fear drives them to not foul.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it is. The NBA, it still happens too on occasion, and it's incredible. It's one of those, Gil, I guess if this is where I cut them a little slack, where it's the, if you're the coach and you don't have, you have in mind, hey, we want to foul, but if they're in a position where they are facing the basket and you don't feel like you can get there, don't get there. I'm okay with that if players at least have it in their mind, right, that they should do it if they can. The problem is I don't think that happens very often. Like, I don't think the players really have it in their mind. Like, okay, I need to foul.
I don't think they have any clue what they're doing.
Like, I don't think so either.
You're saying, let's say you didn't want to foul. Then just guard the arc and make them shoot a 35-footer
right,
or something.
Right.
Okay, then you don't. It drives. And bettors yesterday or in the day before, if somebody out there, I'm sure somebody did have both of the losing sides of that, both have Michigan State and Wisconsin in those games, that is just a brutal Kinyella for the weekend.
Someone was getting killed for it in the NBA this weekend, too, and I totally forget what game that was now.
Oh, well, there was a game last night where the Clippers lost by 10 in overtime. If you had the Clippers last night, you got to be bitter about that, but that's a wholly different story. NBA's a whole – what a day, what a weekend in the NBA. We'll get to that as well. Let's do the college basketball formula because this is – people were asking on Twitter. We've only done it once so far this year, so this is our first update. And this, for those who are just landing on the show for the first time, this is a tried-and-true college basketball championship formula that we have done for every year of a numbers game. We did on the Beating the Book podcast before that. We did on Betting Dork before that. And after all these years, it still works beautifully. This is to isolate and identify who will end up as national champion. Now, the last 32, there's six criteria. Is it criterion would be the plural of criteria, I believe?
Let me look that up.
Kelly, get on that.
I feel like there's an M in there. Criterium?
Criterion with an N.
I'll have to look it up.
That'll keep him busy for a while. Six bullet points here on the top. Last 32 champs had more assists than turnovers. Well, that seems easy enough. 31 of the last 32 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience before the tournaments that we are referring to here, that we're getting into. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies with Kevin Ollie as the head man were the exception. That team won the national championship. 26 of the last 27 champs went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Yes, we don't use RPI anymore, but this is how long we've been doing this formula. The only exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies. They were a real formula buster, that team. Last 27 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. That will be interesting this year. 19 of the last 20 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies bucked that at number 39. They finished number 39 in adjusted offense. Remember, you can actually improve your number in these categories here at the end during the tournament itself. And then 19 of the last 20 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. The only exception, 2021's Baylor Bears, who finished number 22, just on the outside looking in and adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. So
clearly that KenPom guy has no idea what he's doing.
No clue whatsoever. So here's the deal. When we did it the first time a few weeks ago before the Super Bowl, one team qualified and five were on the outs, just on the outside looking in. So here we're going to have three teams that qualify and three on the outside looking in. But here's the rub. It's the same six teams. So, yes, three currently qualify as opposed to one, but it's the same six that are either in or just on the outside looking in.
And they meet the criterion.
Thank you. See?
Florida State English degree.
As assisted by me provoking you to see if you had that degree that worked out. Yes, that's correct. All right, so the current qualifiers, Alabama. There is no stipulation about things that happen off the court. Let me just point that out about these criterion. Alabama currently 17th in adjusted offense, number 5 in adjusted defense. Nate Oates has been to one Sweet 16 as a head coach. Here's where they just barely qualify. The category that you think is the easiest of the bunch. 437 assists, Kelly. 411 turnovers.
Oh, yikes.
So 1.063 assist to turnover ratio. They qualify, but barely on that. Purdue is now a qualifier. Remember, they were just on the outside looking in before. They qualify. Number 10 in adjusted offense, number 19 in adjusted defense. Matt Painter has been to five Sweet 16s, one Elite Eight. Purdue with Zach Edey, the de facto player of the year. They qualify. Kansas qualifies. They were on the outside looking in before, but Bill Self and Kansas, right where they always seem to be. Number 20, adjusted offense at KenPom. Number 9, adjusted defense, Bill Self. Three Sweet 16s, seven Elite Eights, one Final Four, one runner-up, two national titles. And here are the other three teams that are just on the outside looking in. But again, I urge you, don't worry about the fact that three currently qualify and three are on the outside. Look at this as a group of six. The national champion is coming from this group of six, per this formula. And just on the outside looking in, yes, the Houston Cougars, who many feel still is the best team when they step back and think about it.
Yep.
The best team in college basketball. They're number 4 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. They're number 6 in adjusted D. Kelvin Sampson's been to two Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights, two Final Fours. But, and here's why they're on the outside looking in. I think we talked to Jim Root last time, who's going to be with us today from Three Man Weave, or was one of the other Three Man Weavers. They don't care about this stipulation. But Houston's strength of schedule is 103. They're not in the top 75. Will that matter in the end? UConn. A lot of people loved UConn early on in the season. That was sort of the expert, you know, Cinderella team early in the season. I wouldn't even call them Cinderella, but that was the team that was the in vogue team, let's say, to say. Who's the team that most people aren't thinking about that you think might have a shot at this? UConn is just on the outside of qualifying. Number 7 adjusted offense at Ken Baum. Number 23 adjusted defense. But Dan Hurley has never taken a team to the Sweet 16 in his coaching career. So that would be the qualifier that keeps him on the out and will always keep him on the outside if you buy into that.
Right.
And then the sixth team, and I want to send a shout out to Matt Warrior 13 over on Twitter, because he was talking to me this weekend about this. He says, this UCLA team is better than the Final Four UCLA team from a few years back. This is the team. Number 22 adjusted offense, number 2 adjusted defense, and yes, Mick Cronin's been to 2 Sweet 16s and 1 Final Four. UCLA just barely on the outside looking in. I do believe by the end of this week, if not today, Kelly, I will have a futures play on UCLA. The only futures ticket, okay. The only futures tickets I think I have, and when I say I think is because vacation will do that to you. I know I have one on Virginia. That doesn't feel so good right now. And I believe I have one on Creighton as well. So that's the other one. Creighton, not in this category as well. So those are the six teams. Again, Houston, UConn, UCLA. Houston, UConn, UCLA. And then the three teams that are currently qualifying, which are Alabama, Purdue, and, of course, third, Kansas. That's it. National champ. If you buy into that, national champ is coming from one of those six. So sorry, Arizona. Sorry, Baylor. Sorry, Tennessee. Sorry, Texas. Texas, by the way, close. If you go to like the next level after that, Texas would be in that group, and so would Creighton. They're just on the sort of outside of the outside.
They check one box.
Yeah. Kelly had himself a great golf weekend. We'll get into that. We have a tennis pick this morning as well. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. To start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. By the way, one correction, UCLA's Final Four appearance, obviously 2 years ago, not 3 years ago. Pardon me on that. And the other apology is had a little allergy happening down there in Turks, Kelly, so apologize for the voice this morning as well. Apologies.
Sound fine. Yeah, do it. I don't hear a difference.
I do. I hear a difference. Okay.
It's because you have a finely tuned ear.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Let's talk a little Honda Classic for a second. Oh, Kelly Bidlin had himself a weekend.
So yeah, that was a good one, man.
Yeah, so
I enjoyed it.
Chris Kirk. And by the way, it's amazing. He played wide receiver for the Jaguars, and he turns around, he wins a golf tournament. It's incredible.
I got a lot of tweets over the weekend. I'm like, how do I hedge this Christian Kirk ticket?
Chris Kirk wins in a playoff, what turned out to be a one-hole playoff, against Eric Cole. And if you're saying to yourself, oh, boy, those are some household names, way to go further down the old leaderboard, Tyler Duncan and Ryan Gerard right behind them. But this was a pretty dramatic ending to a golf tournament because they were sort of going, Chris Kirk had a 2-stroke lead heading into the final round. He got it up to a 3-stroke lead. Then they really started trading punches. Finally, Kirk took the lead with a birdie on 16. And Kelly Bidlin, you had a 32-1 on Kirk.
Yeah, 32-1. So finally, get off the schneid and get an outright home.
So here's how it ended. So they get to, they trade pars on 17, and they get to the par 5 18. Kirk with a 1-stroke lead over Eric Cole. And Kirk's second shot, his approach shot into the green, from the moment the ball hits the club, or the moment the club hits the ball, I should say, this thing was as wet as could be. And ends up bouncing, to be fair.
Hey, well, bouncing. One more foot and he's safe.
One more, yeah, okay.
It was a big old clank, clank.
Clank, almost hits the car in the middle of the lake. By the way, can they clean up the lakes over there, the Honda Classic?
I don't know what was going on that one hole. I love that you spotted, like, the one hole where I thought the same thing earlier in the week. I was like, can we get a skimmer out or something?
Skimmer, like a pool skimmer.
Exactly, skim that fungi.
A little marshy. We're big ecologists, you and I. Fungi. Anyway, so it looks at that point like Kelly's ticket is dead and
Hey, let's keep in mind here, too. Wes will be on the show later.
Your long shots, and source getting to that your long shots partners were going to cash their tickets on Cole, who are what? What did they have Cole
125
at?
125-1.
Okay, because at this point, all Eric Cole needed to do was chip in from off the green up and down, not chip in, but up and down from off the green, and he's golden. Then he chips, and it looks for a second, Kelly, like he was going to chip it into the, that it was going to roll into the water himself. He gets lucky it stays dry, but the what ends up happening is he pars, and Kirk ends up bogeying, so it pushes a playoff, and then on the, what turned out to be the one playoff hole, Kirk has to lay up because he misses the fairway, and sometimes laying up has magical qualities at the end because then he sticks his third shot on that par 5 18, which served as the first playoff hole. He sticks it into tap-in distance.
Misses the fairway, and, you know, yes. Could have missed the fairway and been fine, but no, somehow puts it right behind a freaking tree.
Yes.
So with all my second place finishes, man, I texted you this. As soon as that ball hit off the rocks or whatever, that little landing, and then went along, I didn't even flinch. I was like, this was bound to happen at some point.
Well, there's one more thing that happened.
This was coming.
There's one more thing that happened here. Cole then lips out what could have pushed a second playoff. Yeah. So there it is. Can we throw that graphic up? Because this is just beautiful.
Michelle made this last week. Yeah. And now it's, I think we've got the either one or two things, Gil. Since we made this, now I've picked up a winner. Or it just has something to do with you being on vacation. So you might need to take another couple weeks off. I've been winning while you've been gone.
Did she put it that you were sponsored by Wonder Bread? Is that what the big sponsor is right in the middle of your chest there?
Yeah, that's the
Wonder Bread.
That's the Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights.
If you ain't first, you're second for the third time. Kelly has been finishing second for a long time.
That was last week. I had a second place finish last week. Homa.
Yes.
I got beat by Rahm again.
And it looked like you were gonna. You were saying yesterday you're just numb to your second place finishes now.
I am.
But this gets home for you, and it's not the only thing that you hit. What else did you hit?
Oh, man. We were perfect on pre-tournament matchups. Gave all those out on the show. First round leader. I know not everybody got down on Joseph Bramlett with me. If anybody's ever interested in those, just tweet me. Sometimes I know I had one 2 weeks ago. We had one that hit. Sia Najad, both of us have hit two first round leaders 2 weeks in a row.
Sia Najad.
They've been chopped.
Sia Najad has hit first round leaders for like a year now.
It's been incredible. We might have to have a competition with him this week because me and him have both hit two in a row, but two different guys each week.
So you dead heated with that.
Dead heated with that. So yep. I had Joseph Bramlett first round leader, the 32-1 on Kirk, 2-0 on pre-tournament matchups. 2-1 in tournament matchups and 3-1 on top 20 bets, including a plus 550 on Cole because Wes and Matt sold him so well on long shots this week or this past week. Got to check out long shots. Eric Cole was giving out 125-1. Both those guys were on him. So I can't wait till Wes gets in here because I'm assuming he made a fair amount of money this week too, hedging off that. There was plenty of, you know, a couple good hedge opportunities no matter what side you were on. To be honest, I hedged a fair amount off Kirk too.
It's almost as if people should be listening to Long Shots, Kelly.
Almost as if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
VSiN.com/podcast. Two pods a week, golf-wise?
Yeah, we'll do Mondays and Tuesdays. So Tuesdays is our big tournament kind of preview one. And then Mondays we do a quick kind of look back at the past tournament and then opening odds, basically, for the upcoming tournament.
Where Arnold Palmer, Bay Hill this week. A Jack Nicklaus course, I believe.
No, that is an Arnold Palmer. Jack Nicklaus was this past week.
Oh, Jack Nicklaus was this past week. Oh, gotcha. Okay. By the way, it's so funny because we're so focused in on your bets and everyone's bets that we have that we don't even really miss the drama of this. Kirk hadn't won a tournament in 8 years, and Cole had never won a tournament.
Yeah, so, Cole, the interesting backstory. I had to root for the guy. I knew he was a local guy because Wes and Matt kind of filled me in on that. I covered this tournament for years, so knowing that local flair. The other thing that's really interesting with this, Gil, sorry, and I didn't mean to spend this much time on golf. Did you catch the note at the end about Kirk choosing to skip last week, one of the elevated events with much higher prize money, because he knew that the competition would be more gettable at this tournament?
He wanted to win.
I was like, man, that's it's a bold strategy for the first, you know, round of elevated events that we're that we've seen. But man, did it pay? It worked out for him.
He zigged while everybody else zagged.
Exactly.
Or vice versa.
For a guy who hadn't won in 9 years.
There was one other little note. I don't know if you caught this. After he put the ball at 18 into the water and it looked like he may not win, did you see when he was about to take his drop that a crow showed up right in front of him? It's like the omen of all omens. Like I thought at that point you were totally not winning.
You know what's funny? I felt a little little better because he was able to laugh it off.
He did.
You know
laugh
what I mean?
Off.
I'm like, I don't know how many guys could just laugh that situation off. Right?
The bird is just like you, and you're not hitting this ball right
you're
now.
You're not winning.
And by the way, if I could have a black cat here, I would otherwise. He ends up winning. So good on you, Kelly. Well done. And Wes Reynolds will join us towards the end of the show to talk golf and other things as well. One of Kelly's co-hosts, along with Matt Brown. Longshots, VSiN.com/podcast. Tennis, you know, I bet tennis globally for 2 weeks while sitting on the beach in Turks and Caicos, Kelly. And it's almost as if not having a job and just, you know, focusing on handicapping for 2 weeks might even make you more honed in on it. It was a glorious 2 weeks of tennis betting, five tournaments per week between the Australian Open and Indian Wells, which is next week. We'll have a Beating the Book podcast next week about tennis's de facto fifth major at Indian Wells next week with hopefully get Drew and Dan to join on that show, Beating the Book, VSiN.com/podcast. But there were, you know, there's hard court tournaments, indoor hard, clay, both on the men's and the ladies' side. Great clay court final yesterday in Rio where Carlos Alcaraz sadly hurt his leg. So he was basically trying to beat Cam Norrie on one leg, couldn't quite do it. But just great tennis globally. We do have one pick, so we're back to five tournaments this week. And I have one play because Dubai happened mainly overnight, so those plays are done. Austin, Texas, hosting its first ever ladies tennis tournament starting today. And I do have a pick there. Katie Volleynets. Kelly, if your last name was Volleynets, would you become a pro tennis player also? Probably.
Yeah. Do you know how much this, you sent me this. You're lucky I've heard this name before. Otherwise, yes. I would have been scrambling to double check this. Like, how is this a tennis name?
If your name is,
we have, what, Tennis Sandgren?
Tennis
too,
Sandgren,
right?
Would be incredible. The other one. Tennis Sandgren and Katie Volleynets. I think she makes sure to say it Volleynets so it doesn't sound like Volleynets.
Well, just lean into it then, right? Is that
absolutely.
Like Thiesman, Thiesman?
That's right.
Like, just go with Volleynets at this point.
Joe never seemed to have regrets about changing it to Thiesman for the Heisman race, even though he lost.
Yeah.
So Katie Volleynets going up against the Allison Risk. I believe it's Allison Risk Armitage. I believe she got married. But we know her for years as Allison Risk. Volleynets at plus money, plus 123, I believe is the number, or plus 122. What did I get her at? One of those two, whatever we just flashed out.
122.
Right now, she is right around there. Let me just make sure. You can get her right now. I'm seeing. Yeah, right at that number. It has not moved. And this is this morning. It takes place in about an hour. Allison Risk is not playing good tennis right now. And so this is really a fade of Risk. Volleynets, plus 122. Is your tennis play for the morning. Jim Root will join us for three-man weave. We'll talk college hoops with him. Conference tournaments begin today. Today. Is there a play, a bet in one of these tournaments better than others? That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a big day here at VSiN. Starting today, VSiN launching three new live shows to cover the dynamic sports betting markets like no one else can. With some fresh concepts and pairings, as we head into a new season of sports, VSiN will continue to deliver all the news, analysis, and insights you've come to expect from your favorite team of sports betting experts. Check out the new lineup starting today, and look at that. VSiN Best Bets at 2 p.m. Eastern. That goes for an hour. Jeff Parles in the host chair today. Ben Wilson, also another host of that. Sharp Money after that, Kelly. With Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw.
Yep.
Sharp Money. And then VSiN Prime Time right after that. Is that the...
Tim and Sean.
Tim and Sean. Tim and Sean remain in the chair for VSiN Prime Time. And the VSiN tonight, Humans and Wes.
Yeah,
yes?
Gets a little new... gets a little makeover. Humans in there now with Wes.
All right, and then the Greg Peterson Experience, everybody, stays as well at 12 to 3. That hosted by this just in, Greg Peterson. And let me just say this, Kelly. I am, do you know me as a guy who likes to spread rumors? Dude, do I strike you as that kind of guy?
No, but I guess I am.
I would like to spread this rumor because this rumor is too good not to spread.
Yeah, that's why I told it to you.
Greg Peterson... For those who don't know this, not only does he do the Greg Peterson Experience, as we just mentioned, midnight to 3 Eastern, but he also does the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. And on the weekend, heading into a Saturday full slate of college basketball games, Greg has been known to do six-hour podcasts. I'm not making this up. 6 hours. By the way, when he does like 5 hours and 48 minutes, it's a bit of a letdown. And I'm sort of like, you're just mailing it in, Greg. What are you doing? The rumor is this, that he records portions of this, if not all of it, while jogging. Is that true?
That is what I've heard. Allegedly, he records podcasts while running. If you know Greg Peterson, he runs about 14 miles a day or something.
I heard 11, 12, but you get it.
The fish just keeps getting
Once you get to double digits.
I believe he's been told to shut that down. But still, just the fact that he could do that.
I was going to say, I'm one of these guys, if I do a 5K, I can't talk to anybody.
I would be dead on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So was he huffing and puffing, or is he just such like Captain America that he just rolls through it? He's like Abilene Christian. He's like mile 4.
I'm assuming the second part of the second one.
It's amazing.
He's in such great shape. Yes, he can probably do that fine. I would be dead. He can do it fine.
It's amazing. That's your new VSiN lineup with Greg Peterson in the chair, as always, anchoring.
He's almost listened to at least once. You know what I mean? If you haven't checked out Greg Peterson, you need to check out Greg.
Can we go a little behind the curtain here before we get to Jim Root?
Yeah.
I have asked Greg Peterson on the show this year, right, to do a little college basketball in the old numbers game. And you know what Greg Peterson said to me? Except through you? He said, that's okay.
It's pretty early,
I'm a little tired. It's a little too early for me, Gil. He is big-timing us. That's what this has come to. Jim Root never big times us, except for the other 2 weeks when his other three-man weave guys come on instead. It's Jim Root from Three-Man Weave. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm great. I like hearing these rumors of the Greg Peterson just growing, because it is incredible how much he churns out on college basketball.
It's insane, let's be honest. He's Meshuggah. He's absolutely out of his mind. But we love him for that. It's phenomenal. Let me ask you, so I started the show by talking about these coaches that won't foul up three. Greg Gard, Tom Izzo. Come on, Jim. Haven't we gotten to the point that these coaches should know to do that?
Yeah, I guess every time this comes up, there's always a couple stat truthers that are like, oh, it's not automatic that you win up three.
It's not automatic. But it's not 100%, but it's like 98%.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, but the amount of things that have to go right for you after the foul or go wrong, I guess, and as long as you can execute it correctly. And I know if I was an opposing coach, I would not want my team to get fouled up three. I would want or down three. I would want the chance to shoot the three.
That's the betting truth serum, correct? That's it.
Yep,
that's all you need
exactly.
to know. Yes.
Yep.
All right. The other thing we did at the top, I did my college basketball formula. Three teams qualify, three teams on the outside looking in. There's the same six teams that when I did it the first time. It's only our second update of it, our first update of the original. Alabama, Purdue, Kansas on the inside. Houston, UConn, UCLA just on the outside. Is the national champion coming from that group of six? Alabama, Purdue, Kansas, Houston, UConn, UCLA.
I think yes. The three teams I think most likely to win are Houston, UCLA, and Kansas because of some of the half-court scoring ability that they have. They're not as reliant on some of the transition. I had been very in on Alabama up until some of the off-the-court stuff, and those transition-heavy teams, it just sometimes they get bogged down by a team that scouts them really well. So that's my concern there with Bama. But those three, UCLA, Houston, and who's Kansas, they can really defend. They've got a go-to scorer late in the shot clock, and they can produce in the half court. They're not going to be totally messed up by a certain style. So those are, I would say, the top three. And then you add three more pretty capable teams. Yeah, I actually do think it'll come from that top six, even as much as we say this is a balanced year or no great teams. I think it'll be in that group.
I don't want to just sort of gloss over the Alabama stuff that happened while I was away these last 2 weeks, because I'm just curious. It's obviously speculation, but I'm curious if you think this may end up being a thing in terms of affecting their performance on the court. Brandon Miller, who not only still plays, Brandon Miller, who delivered the gun, depending on who you believe, was he coming that direction already? But ended up delivering the gun that ended up killing a young lady. He's still playing. Not only is he still playing, he had the best game of his life, right, the other day. And then he did this just absolutely tone-deaf pat-down thing. Nate Oates didn't handle the original press conference well. He has since apologized and said he didn't know all the information. Anyway, I guess the question is, from a handicapping standpoint, as unartful and as indelicate as that is, do you feel like as this team will only progress into March Madness, that the scrutiny and the story will only become bigger and bigger and more people will learn of it who don't know it already? Do you think it could affect them ultimately?
I do, and it's because they're a pretty young team, too. Like, they play three other freshmen besides Miller. A lot of guys that have not been in a tournament setting, they haven't had this kind of national scrutiny on them. And that's been, I think, the disappointment, not disappointment, but, like, You said Miller had his best game of his career. That's true. The rest of the team went 1-for-14 from three in that OT win against South Carolina. I think the role players might be more kind of distracted or worried about the perception and how everything is swirling around the program than even Miller. I mean, Miller, he's a star, but some of the other stuff, I think maybe distraction on game planning for the staff. Like, there's just too many things going on. And as you said, the storyline will continue to blow up. It's like when there's a team undefeated, like Gonzaga 2 years ago. It just gets so hammered home that the media gets to it. I think it could end up being a little bit of a problem for Alabama.
All right, conference tournaments begin today. When I say tournaments with an S, I really mean tournament, singular, begins today. The Atlantic Sun begins with Kennesaw State as your number one seed. But then tomorrow it's a trio of conferences, the Horizon League. Oh, that's a conference. The Patriot League and the Sun Belt, they all tip off. So we're pumped. The Super Bowl gets further out. The conference tournaments seem to get further in, less time in between. Is there a bet in a conference, in a specific conference tournament that you think is a good one? Perhaps the Horizon League, aforementioned, but any of these.
Yeah, well, the Horizon, I think, is really wide open. The number one seed almost never wins that tournament. There's a decent amount of parity in there. So I think down the board is where you want to look there. I don't have a specific horse picked out quite yet. What I do like, if you're allowed to do this at your specific book, is parlaying Liberty and Colgate to win their leagues. I think they're both minus 200, minus 230, depending on where you look. But you put them together, you're basically looking at even money, maybe plus 108 or plus 105 or something. Colgate, I feel very good about. They have dominated that league for years. They've won the postseason event multiple times. They won the regular season by five games this year, I think. It is a dominant force there. Liberty, I feel confident they'll win. Their one caveat there is if they play Kennesaw in the final, it will be a road game. They played once this year. It was at Kennesaw State. Darius McGee, the best player for Liberty, had 43 points. It was an absurd individual effort. But their defense really faltered down the stretch. They were up 9 with 3 minutes to play, ended up kind of choking it away and losing. I think they'll get it done in the actual tournament here. A much more veteran team. Kennesaw still, you know, more sophomore, junior laden. Liberty and an experienced squad. McGee's been to the tournament before, and Richie McKay has been a fantastic coach there, a Tony Bennett disciple. So I think you put those two together, you get a nice price, and you can avoid some of that big juice if you can parlay those tournament futures.
If you could parlay. And, of course, if Colgate ends up losing the Patriot League, oh, that'll be fun. The Patriot League tournament, that'll be a fun thing to see everybody lose their minds about. What about today? Yep. Anything in college basketball?
In the A-Sun, you mentioned that tournament kicking off. I like Queens. They're -2. It's actually going to be a neutral site game here against Florida Gulf Coast. But Gulf Coast has tailed off a little bit this year, and Queens is one of those just they're a new team to D1, but, man, do they play hard, and they've got awesome guards. I like betting on guards in the postseason. It's been bet from about pick to -2. I still think there's a decent value on them at -2 because I just don't trust Florida Gulf Coast right now and the trajectory that they're on. So I will ride with the guards of Queens in their first postseason experience here in Division I.
Okay. Queens University -2 against Florida Gulf Coast. A little tournament action for you right there off the bat. The 9 and the 10 seeds in the A-Sun tournament, which begins today. By the way, I meant that thing about Colgate, because automatic bid for the winner of the conference tournament if they have that kind of regular season and then somehow get upset. Oh, boy. And it begins. Thank you, Jim. Always great to see you, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Gil.
Jim Root at 3MW _CBB for all of Three Man Weave's picks. We'll come back. NBA Finals exactas. What an interesting market. We'll take a look at it next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Thanks to everybody who was wishing me a nice welcome back on Twitter. Really appreciate it. It's very kind of all of you. This is my favorite tweet when I was off, Kelly. It's from Sky High. Better Brewer. He says, listening to Vison taking the kids to school, they both ask, where is Gil? I say he's on vacation. They ask, when's he coming back? You are the voice of my kids in the morning.
Yeah, we were pretty insufferable. I know. Sorry.
No, already, I don't think that's what he meant.
No.
I just like that the kids I've touched. Well, let me not say that. I have made an impact on the kids' lives.
I think Matt was on when he sent that in. Yeah. I was like, oh man, I need to re-look at things if I know children are listening to this show every morning.
It's a family show, Kelly.
And then I don't even know what I said a couple of times. We're like, Matt stopped me. And he's like, kids, family show. Kids family are listening. Like, show. I don't even know what I just said.
We get tweets at Benny the Book. This is from Gilly Ice Butchers, my nickname. I don't know what his nickname is there, Butcher. He says, starting my Monday off right with Gil on ANG. Only thing that could top it off is Gilly Ice hablar español. That just comes out when it comes out. I don't really telegraph that best. Broom, broom, broom. Big fan of foul went up three. Bruce Pearl called for his team to foul while up three last week. Just after the guard crossed half court in the Auburn Ole Miss game, most likely won the game for them. Yeah, man. Len Glauzenski. Listening now to your show, my take on college basketball for the tournament handicap is just handicap the coaches. There are only a few coaches who qualify as good pressure coach. My first year are Gonzaga and UCLA. Both coaches, very good. Lenny. Well, Gonzaga really doesn't have the championship, though. Mike Zhang, Katie Volinets went from plus 128 to plus 108 as you were giving out your pick.
Bam.
Did I do that?
Volinets.
Mike Alvarez, I had no idea that Greg Peterson loves NCAA hoops that much. I follow him for beer reviews, Texas Roadhouse picks, and jersey recommendation. Greg thinks the Energizer Bunny is a tad lazy. Yes, he did.
Yes, he does.
Greg does it. By the way, he does 6 hours of serious podcast. There is not a joke contained during the 6 hours.
Six. When you were describing that before, I didn't even know if you were being serious with that. It is really 6 hours long?
Bruh, when it's I'm telling you, when it falls short by 12
solo,
minutes,
right?
You're like,
just him?
You are lazy.
Just him.
I think just him typically. Maybe there's, I don't know. It's typically just him. Corbin, hope you had a great vacation and much needed rest, Gil. Nothing better than having you back on Monday with an amazing slate of games to break down. Kelly hitting an outright and a tennis bet. Let's friggin' go. Can't wait to get off work early and watch. All right. Well, it's about to be in like 45 minutes. Some basketball news. Thank you for that, by the way. Quinn Snyder agreeing to a 5-year contract to become the Atlanta Hawks coach, expected to make his debut as soon as tomorrow at home against the Wizards. Did you like Quinn Snyder as the Jazz coach for all those years?
Yeah, no problem with him. I think he's a pretty good coach. My reaction to this is, what took you so long?
Yes.
We were talking about Nate McMillan getting fired 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. That's my whole reaction to this whole situation. And it's just funny because reading some of the comments about this today and yesterday, it was like, you know, ownership really wanted to get him in here as soon as possible so this team could prepare for a postseason run and, like, into the postseason. I'm like, well, what took so long?
As soon as possible.
Yeah, Trae Young and Nate McMillan have been, you know, seemingly been fighting for about 2 months now. Like, and you just let this go on.
Bucks co-owner Mark Lasry has reached an agreement to sell his portion of the Bucks to the Cleveland Browns ownership group, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, for a $3.5 billion valuation, sources told ESPN. They finally get their basketball team.
I don't know how that whole ownership structure is set up, but think about what you just read.
Yeah.
His stake of the team?
Stake.
So there is another ownership group. There's other owners involved. He sold his stake for $3.5 billion with a B.
STAKE for those scoring
that's
at home.
Right, that's right.
yeah, man. Well, we'll get to the Daniel Snyder thing momentarily when we talk about the Commodores. Talk about team valuations. Damian Lillard dropping 71 last night for the Blase in a 131-114 win over the Rockets. Damian Lillard was 71 yesterday. On 22 of 38 shooting, 13 of 22 from behind the arc, didn't miss a free throw, 14 of 14. Oh, by the way, just 6 rebounds and 6 assists just for good measure against 2 turnovers. Add that 71 points to a 60-point performance from him you may remember back in January against the Jazz in a Blazers win. He also had a 50-point performance in early January against Cleveland in a loss and has had 6 other games where he's topped 40.
It's insane.
Damian Lillard, now this from StatMuse, has more 60-point games than, and here is the list, Steph Curry, LeBron, Shaq, Bird, Magic, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Kevin Durant, combined.
Combined.
That's the kicker word.
He's an combined elite scorer of all time.
And he does it with no expression. No expression.
Let's see this other one, too, that I caught. The most points scored in an individual game, right? So this is...
All time.
All time.
Wilt, Kobe, Wilt, David Thompson, Wilt, Dame.
Dame.
Man.
And I mean, what's really gross is, imagine if you scored two more buckets where you are on this list.
Where was George Gervin? Because that David Thompson 73 was on the last day of an NBA season back in the late 70s when him and George Gervin were going for the scoring title.
Remember you talking
And I think on that. The last day, they both scored 70. I could have that wrong.
I mean, that's right. They cut the list off at Dame, yeah. So if it's 70, he's right there, yeah.
Okay, and then by the way, the Mavs yesterday managed to blow a 27-point lead en route to a 111-108 loss to the Lakers. NBA teams were 138-0 after leading by that much this season, according to ESPN stats and information. Are you buying into the Lakers at all here?
Meh.
That is not a very definitive response.
Why don't we wait and see my NBA exactas, Gil?
So let's do this. So this is exactas. These are available at BetMGM.
A lot of shops.
Some are more organized, organized better than others, we learned. So the question is, Kelly tasked us both with, give me your three best exactas based on betting value that currently exist. We did it from the BetMGM national app. And so here's how I did it, very mechanically, Kelly. I basically went to the Eastern Conference and I said, I only believe the Celtics and Bucks will get to the NBA Finals from the East. I'm not buying in anybody else. Sixers, anybody else. I don't care. It's Celtics or Bucks. So those are my two anchors. And all of the Bucks lines had so much more value than the Celtics lines did, which to me is the error, quote unquote, of this market. Like, I don't get it.
To me, it's been the oddity the entire season in the Eastern Conference.
We could even say for a couple years. Remember the Bucks after winning a championship 9-1 right after out of the gates? So then it just became for me, because of that, right? Only the Bucks and Celtics. Yep. Bucks better numbers than the Celtics do. Who am I pairing the Bucks up in three different ways? And so I came up with the Bucks to beat the Clippers, the Bucks to beat the Suns. Kevin Durant, by the way, scheduled to make his debut with the Suns on Wednesday. Bucks to beat the Warriors because, they're the Warriors. So 35-1 to beat the Clippers, 18-1 to beat the Phoenix Suns, 50-1 to beat the Dubs. Those ended up being my three favorite exactas on the entire board based on that sort of mechanical process.
Yep. No, I like it. I mean, look, this is, I've been high on the Bucks all season long. I'm with you. I don't agree there should be that kind of separation in the odds between the Bucks and the
Celtics. Makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense to me. They're both really good. I think both of those teams, both of those teams should be.
Oh, you did the same thing I did.
Yes, I did. This was my plan all along. I'm looking forward to making some of these bets soon, Gil. I haven't yet, but I will pull the trigger on a couple of these because I think the Eastern Conference, it's very few teams that are left. I think the West is wide open. I know we've been saying that all year, but there are some teams that even further down the board, I think they can work their way into the conversation. Now, I wanted to go a little different because we would have shared two of the exact
can I just ask you
three.
This, too? I'm not being disrespectful because I want to know how authentic this was. Did you get my picks and then say, oh, wait, Gil's right, the Bucks numbers are better, I'm going to do this, too? Or did you independently, we did the exact same thing?
Independently, because I already knew going in that I was going to anchor all mine around the Bucks. Because I plan on making a couple of these.
The question of who's the best bet, these are the best bets?
Yeah, so the only one I will say here, is this my true top three? Maybe not, because I didn't want to have the same damn thing as you with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Clippers was the one I do like, too, Bucks, Clippers. But look, I wanted to throw the Lakers in there because I think they're worth talking about, Gil. What they did at the trade deadline is I thought was amazing. They were able to pull off way more than I thought they were going to. And look, if Anthony Street Clothes Davis can stay out of those street clothes, this team's for real, man. This team will be for real in the playoffs.
Street clothes.
Pelicans, 175-1? Because if Zion gets healthy, watch out, that team can be right back in action. Bucks to beat the Warriors 51, Bucks to beat the Lakers 125.
I'm not buying into the Lakers, but I hear you. Bucks ought to be your anchor, at least from our vantage point. We'll come back. NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Is this really a bet that's in question? That's next.